This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Dell, enabling research discoveries with purpose-built HPC solutions. www.dell.com/HPC successes.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
The new TerraGrid.
And the new Microsoft.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for July 22nd, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
So we had some reorganization news in the news cycle this week, a couple different entities, but not really related at all.
Yeah, a couple different kinds of reorg, one in the traditional corporate sense, but let's start with the one that's more a reorganization of a program with the news that's going on with TerraGrid.
Right. TerraGrid, which has had a 10-year run, is basically coming to an end, and in its place is a new organization, a new project called Exceed, and that basically started up in July 1st, and it was announced at the TerraGrid 11 conference earlier this month, and so it's going to basically take the reins of all the infrastructure and sort of that mission, but broadly expand it.
Right. Now, this is a new NSF program that's going to sort of do the follow-on funding from TerraGrid. So in one case, TerraGrid is ending. In another, it's continuing or reorging as this new thing, Exceed, right?
Right. And Exceed stands for Extreme Science and Engineering Discovery Environment.
Which doesn't sound like it works at all, but it's S-E-D-E, Exceed, right?
Exactly, right, S-E-D-E. So they've rebranded the whole organization, the whole project name, and the idea here is it's not really going to be like TerraGrid in the narrow sense that it was before, in that that organization was very focused on a collection of HPC resources that were connected across this network that was available to scientists and researchers in U.S. universities. So this expands on that quite a bit as far as the computational infrastructure, in that it brings in other things besides HPC, other types of computers, other types of storage, tools, gateways. They're going to basically create more of a multidimensional infrastructure where you have different levels of compute and storage and applications in a distributed environment.
It's a cyber infrastructure, Michael.
Oh, a cyber. Yeah.
It's NSF, so this is cyber infrastructure.
I always think of cybers like robots, like sort of killer things. So I never quite was comfortable with that. It kind of gave me nightmares. But yes, it's the cyber infrastructure that's going to be expanded quite a bit. And
what seems to be here is that the emphasis is more on access to science and engineering resources, whether they have to do with supercomputers or not, is sort of been de-emphasized. But it seems to it's more community-oriented, more science and engineering community-oriented, right?
Right, right. In that sense, it's sort of more grassroots. I mean, if somebody's got a computer or a data repository at some university and they want to share it with other researchers or groups, they can hook it up to the Exceed distributed computing platform and become part of this community. And you don't need to have a supercomputer sort of as the entry point into this. There's a lot more democratization going on here, and they expect actually to have a much larger community. There's about 7,000 TerraGrid users right now with accounts on supercomputers, and John Towns, the PI for this, the leader for this new project, thinks that could be substantially increased under this new framework.
Well, this is consistent with a lot of other initiatives that we're seeing in HPC and in IT in general, but everyone else uses the word cloud for it, right? Where's the word cloud?
Right. You would think they would have called from TerraGrid, they would have gone to Petacloud or something like that.
They decided they can tear a grid, but they can't pet a cloud.
Yes, I think that was the deciding factor. Yeah, there's no cloud nomenclature in here at all in any of the announcements or the talking points here. It's just distributed computing and computing infrastructure and, of course, cyber infrastructure, but no cloud. So we'll have to live without that for at least 5 years, for the first 5 years of this project.
Well, this is sort of the opposite of the trend that we heard, is people are calling things clouds, whether they're car clouds or not. This appears to actually be a cloud, but they're not using the name.
Yeah, I mean, it's distributed computing with gateways and services, and yeah, this could be a cloud.
Right.
And it's...
The other thing I look at with this, though, is the level of funding, because one thing we've been concerned about in our forecasting is the continued investment or lack of investment, lack of growth in the U.S. government research sector, and whatever effect it also has on U.S. academia. And although there is what did you say it is, $121 million over 5 years?
Right. The first 5 years will be $121 million, which is a little less than Turgid was getting, but Terrigo was getting $148 million over the last 5 years, but that included some supercomputing infrastructure that was wrapped into that deal as well, which isn't included here.
Nevertheless, it doesn't seem to me like HPC is taking a major growth trajectory here from NSF and the follow-on to TerraGrid with Exceed.
Well, that sort of remains to be seen. I mean, NSF's going to fund supercomputing with this separately with the resource providers, and that's sort of a big unknown now. But one thing that's indicated to John Towns, at least from NSF, is that instead of making a big $30 million supercomputer deployment every year for this structure, they're going to do it once every 2 years. So they've had this Track 2 program where they had this award of a $30 million super that went to some center every year, and that's going to be stretched out to once every 2 years. So in that sense, that's going to start.
Sounds like half as many supercomputers to me.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be half as many. It's going to be less centers with these sort of cutting-edge supercomputers, but they may be able to pick up other sub-HPC infrastructure with these other groups that they'll hook into, and maybe they'll be able to pick up other supercomputers with other mechanisms as well. But for the time being, it does look like there's going to be less HPC, but that's certainly not the intent here. They want to keep the supercomputers in there so that, you know, scientists can still do this research. It's not HPC light. It's not like that, or targeted with HPC light.
Yeah.
It's still meant to satisfy those requirements.
I don't know. Overall, to me, this seems consistent with our forecast for this year and the years upcoming, that while HPC worldwide is going to be pretty high growth, that U.S. government HPC spending is largely flat.
Yeah, that might end up being the case. I mean, certainly even if you added like $30 million back into this program on top of the $121 million over 5 years, it would basically be a wash from what Terrigo was getting. But we'll see how that plays out. I mean, funding can change in a dime, but the NSF certainly has its budgetary priorities too, and it's looking to do what it can, but certainly there's budgetary constraints there. So we'll just have to see how this plays out over the first year or two, and see if, you know, people start complaining about not enough HPC all of a sudden in this program.
Well, let's take our first break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a more traditional type of reorg with Microsoft.
Dell has had the honor to work with researchers in building HPC clusters at some of the world's most prestigious research institutions. HPC-based research is a key tool to enable more research for our customers. Dell continues to be committed to the advancement of research and understands that access to computing power is crucial to institutions looking to innovate, solve complex challenges, and compete for critical funding. See how Dell has helped enable the latest advancements within the research community with purpose-built HPC solutions that can help lower your overall research costs and discover extra capacity and better data utilization. Visit www.dell.com/HPC successes to learn more.
Well, Michael, we're back, and we're in the first segment of the show. We talked about the follow-on with TerraGrid going to Exceed and how that was getting reorganized. But second segment today, we've got a much more traditional type of reorganization, looking at how Microsoft is setting up its HPC organization going forward.
Right, and this has been known for some time. There have been rumors that also been, you know, semi-public statements by Microsoft that they were pushing their HPC more into the cloud side. And sure enough, I think basically during June, this is what they did. They basically folded their high-performance computing group inside their server and cloud division.
Right. This wasn't exactly secret. It's not.
No.
It's more than rumors, but it's not the sort of thing a company, Microsoft or otherwise, would do a press release about a reorg. That you don't normally see that. But in this case, you actually spoke with Ryan Waite, who's one of the key figures in the reorg.
Right. I asked what this means for their product set going forward, how big a role cloud is going to play in this. And I think we basically knew the answer to that before we asked, is cloud's going to play a bigger role in HPC than has been the case before with Microsoft. But they've already been signaling that. But they're still going to retain their standalone product set, basically HPC Windows Server. They're still going to have that. There's going to be a new version of it coming out at some point, and they're going to be supporting it. So in a sense, it's business as usual, but in a sense not, because now since it's basically folded into the other division, it sort of has to answer to, you know, sort of a broader strategy, which right. In this case is, you know, let's face it, it's Microsoft, it's Azure, it's all about the cloud. So they're not this own separate entity out there anymore as they were under Kirill Fanoff, where he sort of had his own empire. They're answering to a larger group.
Well, this is kind of the next logical step in the organizational pattern that they've been on. They introduced the technical computing initiative, what, about a year and a half ago now, maybe a little before that.
Right.
And this now takes another step even further toward cloud. I'm glad you talked to Ryan. Ryan Waite's a great guy. I've known him for several years. I think the product is in good hands there. I think my concern, if any, is what the public perception of this is going to be, you know, over the next several months, over the next year as we go forward. You know, going back to 4 or 5 years ago, Microsoft put a very public emphasis on HPC, and, you know, even over some of the hard-nosed Linux heads who would say, "Ah, come on, Windows for HPC," right? And, you know, and they had a story, and they knew what their shortcomings were, and slowly they started building their share, and they were making noticeable progress. They had grown it, but over the last year, under this technical computing initiative, it's kind of flattened out a little bit. Now they're putting even more of the message into cloud, and I just worry that it's going to be very narrow. Now they're trying to focus on the areas where they think they're going to have the most wins, but we've already seen what the limits are to public cloud in HPC, and, you know, with Azure, it's going to be Windows public cloud on HPC. I think by the time you narrow it down to you know, picking up the missing middle on a Windows cloud, that it's not very much of the HPC market.
Right. I think that's certainly a challenge for this market. I mean, HPC, the community is skeptical of clouds, especially public clouds, as you mentioned. But, you know, their response, I think, would be, well, we have a choice. I mean, you can buy this on-premise offering, which is Windows HPC Server, or you can buy the integrated version in the cloud. So you sort of have that choice. I mean, their message going forward is they want to democratize HPC. They want to reach people who didn't have access to this before by having sort of more and simpler infrastructure available, platforms that can be used. But, you know, what sort of was lacking in the conversation with Ryan is he didn't really go into, like, how much of a commitment they really have to this. They didn't go about headcounts, the engineering. We know there was some shuffling underneath the covers on where people, you know, ended up, so we don't know what engineering is like anymore in this group. We don't know about sales and marketing for this group anymore.
Yeah.
So I think at SC coming up, we'll maybe see some of the outcome of that and see what their messaging is like.
Well, and they've got some really important HPC people over there too.
Yeah.
You know, with you already mentioned Kirill Fainoff, you got Dan Reed over there, you got Deborah Goldfarb over there, people who are really well recognized in the HPC community. And we want to see how the next couple months plays out with protecting some of their HPC talent. And I really want to see what presence they're going to have at SC11, which is going to be in Seattle. I mean, this is a home game for Microsoft as well as a few others. You have Cray and Isilon up there, but, you know, we expect big things out of Microsoft. You've come to expect big things from Microsoft out of SC, and now it's in Seattle. and they've got this new reorg with a lot of cloud stuff. I want to see what they're going to do for that show.
Yeah, and we will see that. And just coming in November, it'll be here before we know it.
Not far off. They've got to be starting to plan it now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Why don't we take one more break, and we'll come back. We'll do a stat of the week, and we'll relate it to one more quick story in HPC.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Dell, enabling research discoveries with purpose-built HPC solutions. www.dell.com/HPC successes.
So we're back. So Addison, you promised a stat of the week this week. What's the question?
I did, and I noticed it because another story that was in HPC Wire was about the container deployment at UCLA, HPC containers, and
right.
Reminded me of a facilities question that we had in one of our more recent surveys where we asked users basically what methodologies they were considering for expanding their HPC over the next 2 years, and they could choose as many things as they were considering, and it had everything from, you know, putting in more systems to upgrading the systems they had, and do I need new rooms, do I need to upgrade my facilities, looking at containers. So the question is, what percent of users in our survey were considering containers over the next 2 years in terms of installing more HPC?
Okay, so considering, I would say there'd be about 30% of those users would at least consider them.
You're actually a little high. It actually came in the lowest out of anything in our survey, with only 13% of
wow.
the survey respondents. So it's really only 1 in 8. Saying they're going to consider containers. And that was in last place, slightly behind the 15% who said they would buy or lease a new building.
Okay.
So, you know, containers about as common as just taking on new building space. And more than double that number said they would upgrade the facilities in their building to be able to handle more power or cooling as opposed to going to container.
Yeah, well, that's a little surprising, but I guess it reflects sort of an inbuilt conservatism on some of these facilities and some of these organizations. People don't want to give up their data centers, their buildings, you know, what they see. And, you know, the containers, it's not like they're new. They've been around a while, containerized
right.
clusters, but not too many people have deployed them, so there's not a whole lot of experience out there with them. But at UCLA, they recently deployed this. This is an HP pod, and
right.
They were basically forced into this. They sort of estimated what it would cost them. They wanted to expand their shared cluster out there, but they needed a bigger facility. It was going to cost them over $7 million to do that, which was out of their price range. So they basically built, you know, a platform for this thing, and it was much cheaper. And they got, all of a sudden, they got 1,500 more nodes into their shared cluster, which they hooked up through a wideband InfiniBand network, and it worked out for them. They love it. You know, less energy than it would have cost, and certainly not the price of retrofitting a data center. So for them, at least, it was the answer, and it was all about economics.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say containers are bad or they don't work or they're not going to be the right solution ever. I certainly get the value proposition. I understand it. I just think that the number of end users you're going to find where that's what they're considering for their expansion is just small compared to other things. And I know it's a big part of HP's story. Bull also has container systems. I'm glad UCLA likes theirs. I like seeing good deployments.
Yep.
Of all kinds, but I don't think these containers are going to revolutionize HPC just yet.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like not, but yeah, maybe we'll see more of these in the future, and we'll catch some more user cases and see if they're still liking them.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the highest segment considering them was government, a little higher than commercial and education. So maybe the limited government spending, we'll put in some containerized cyber infrastructure here, Mike.
Yeah, well, if we ever raise the debt ceiling, we can consider that. But that's a whole other story. Okay, well, until next week, we'll wrap it up for today, and we'll come back and hit the big stories of next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you, Addison.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.